Part 53. Results of Reckoning. It should be evident by now that the truths that we have been studying are interrelated and interdependent. Together, they form a single unit of truth centred in the cross and our risen Lord. Their express purpose is to conform us to the image of God's Son, to consolidate and conclude our study. Let us consider a few of the results of reckoning. First, the continuity of the cross. In Romans 6:11, we read, "Consider yourselves to be dead to sin." Having reckoned upon a finished work, we must be prepared to experience the results of the position taken. Counting ourselves to have died to sin at Calvary is synonymous with taking up that cross. It is to be expected that the result of this is daily crucifixion. In this connection, the principle of distinction in chapter 10 is to be remembered. Our dead to sin reckoning includes two factors. First, the old man crucified, and then the new man as having died to sin. The old man crucified. Our reckoning the old man as crucified results in the Holy Spirit's leading us daily in the path of the cross. He allows us, chiefly through our own mistakes and willfulness, to become enmeshed in situations and circumstances that hold the self-life on the cross, that crucify it and that break its power. Oh, there is nothing easy or pleasant about the cross, but we learn to glory in it because of its crucifying power, which frees us from the law of sin and death, as we read in Romans 8 verse 2. And then the new man dead to sin. As we exercise the reckoning attitude of having died to sin, and hence take up our cross daily, the result is that we enjoy increasingly the freedom and the abundance of our new life in the risen Lord. We find that the death that we passed through at Calvary now stands between us and the grip of sin and self. In our standing, we count on the crucifixion of the old Adamic source. In our state, we find ourselves always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians 4:11. This dying daily both holds the self-life crucified and manifests the Christ life in us. The continuity of the cross in our lives produces continual freedom from the reign of sin. The next result of reckoning is the continuity of manifestation. Again, Romans 6:11 says, "Consider yourself to be not just dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." The foremost reason for reckoning ourselves to be in the glorified Lord is that his risen life may be manifested. Although our life is hid with Christ in God, his life is not meant to be hid in us. The wonderful fact about this reckoning is that out of our being always delivered unto death, out of our being made conformable unto his death, his resurrection life emerges. As long as we are in this unredeemed body, which is vulnerable to temptation and prone to sin, we are going to have to count on the crucifixion of the cross to deal continually with the Adamic life within. But the very things that crucify provide the daily death from which our new life in Christ is to be revealed. The more death, the more life. In 2 Corinthians 4 we read this, "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, so that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So the continuity of manifestation has its source in our continual conformity to his death. The next result of reckoning is the continuity of life out of death. In 2 Corinthians 4:12 we read, "So then death worketh in us, but life in you." This is the cumulative result of our life out of death reckoning. What is the essential characteristic of the Lord Jesus that is to be manifested in us? Well, it is the sacrificial quality of being poured out for others. We are not struggling believers who barely exist until we finally fall into heaven. We are recipients of resurrection life for ourselves and sacrificial life unto all others. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." John 10, verse 10. When we reckon ourselves alive to God in our risen Lord, we are thereby taking our position as seated with him in the heavenlies. We know that the anchor and source of our life is safely and eternally hid with Christ in God. We are assured that nothing and no one can touch us apart from his blessed will. See Romans 8, 35 to 39. Our attitude is that of looking down on all that he takes us through. We are not under his circumstances, but above them all in our victorious Lord. Standing in our position, we learn that in whatever state we're in, therewith to be content. We learn how to be abased, and we learn how to abound. Philippians 4, 11 and 12. We enter each day, even Mondays, each day and each situation from that blessed vantage point of looking down. Resting in our risen Lord gives us rest in our pilgrim path. We abide in him, accepting everything from his nail-pierced hands. In everything, give thanks, we're told. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Now, always to be remembered is the fact that the one in whom we live in glory is forever viewed as a lamb as it had been slain. Revelation 5:6. While we abide in and reckon on our life in the Lamb of God, and while we're taken through the Spirit's processing, his sacrificial lamb-like qualities will be manifested in us and through us. Death works in us, but life in others. Another blessed result of being always delivered to death is a growing knowledge by experience of our crucified, risen Lord. As the Holy Spirit delivers us day by day to the path of the cross, we suffer infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions and distresses for Jesus' sake. That I may know him is closely related to the fellowship of his sufferings. Philippians 3 verse 10. Our confidence in the Lord Jesus develops as we realise that his grace is sufficient for all these things, and that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10. We are compelled to prove his faithfulness at every point of need. Although we are living in our risen Lord, we are camping in this body of humiliation and serving in this world of death. Therefore, our Father keeps us in the place of need and helplessness in ourselves. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7. As we are kept dependent, we grow in his submissive, yielded life. We read in Hebrews 10, verse 9, I come to do thy will, O God. Abiding in the Lord Jesus, it is effortless and natural to yield. The only struggle in the matter of yielding erupts from the self-life. That source never was, and never will be, nor never can be, in the subjection to the Father. See Romans 8, verse 7. Paul's urgent plea to the believer's yielding and consecration is based on reckoning. In Romans 12, verse 1, we read, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. To present our bodies is to yield our faculties, our new life in Christ. Yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, a new creation, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, Romans 6:13. Yes, life out of death reckoning results in our becoming a living sacrifice. Such a one is always delivered to death. But out of that daily death, new life is constantly manifested. Our reckoning maintains us in the life out of death principle. This taking up our cross renders us as a grain of wheat and results in our losing our own life. The Holy Spirit buries us here in this situation and there in that location, so that we might not abide alone, but that there may be a rich harvest of golden grain for Jesus' sake. It is comforting to realise that the same process of the cross that holds the old man crucified causes the new man to be manifest. The burial of the grain of wheat makes the old life powerless and the new life fruitful. See John 12, 24 and 25. Some of the graves out of which Christ's sacrificial life arises are the ministry, the mission field, the home, the school, the hospital, and the place of employment. Are these not the very places in which his resurrection life must be manifested, where his poured out life needs to be shared and received? It is as we reckon on our heavenly position that we are able to rest in any grave, whether it be the ministry, the mission field, the home, the school, the hospital, or the place of employment. He has prepared us, rejoicing in his victory that emerges from our daily deliverance to death. We abide in the Lord Jesus, that he may bring us through all the processing required for a fruitful life and service. Not somehow, but triumphantly. Hereby we learn, as it's written in 2 Corinthians 4:15 and 16, that all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man, that is our new man, is renewed day by day. And in Romans 8:28 and 29, we read, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Oh, take heart, reckoning pilgrim. The continuity of life out of death leads to the crown. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. 2 Timothy 2:11 and 12. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Colossians 3 verse 4. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus.